Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
First of all, let me welcome everybody once again to this program. Can you greet somebody on your left, on your right before you sit down? Tell the person you are very wise. Yeah, tell somebody else you are very wise. You have left everything you had to do this evening. Yes, greet somebody. Now, normally when I want to share, when I want to study the Word of God, there are some declarations we take at the beginning just to ignite our spirits to be ready to study. Now, it's a kind of prayer. It's also a prophecy. We prophesy the Word of God upon our lives when we want to study, to open our hearts to receive the Word of God. So everybody, please repeat this after me. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Say, as a result of this,
I'm
walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am
pleasing Him in all respects.
I am
bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say,
this evening,
the Word of God is coming to me. It is entering my heart.
It
is giving me light and direction.
It
is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. Please greet one or two people again as you sit down. Tell the person, it is well with you in the name of Jesus. Understanding has come to you again today in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Well, you're all very welcome. I am so happy we are here this evening. And I trust the Lord that His word is going to be magnified. And the name of Jesus will be magnified in the lives of His people.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, our program has a funny title, which is what? Lord, what do you think of my righteousness? I think that's a bit of an odd title to give a program. Yes, I'm not exactly one to be looking for catchy names, and that is phrases to use. My own emphasis is to expound the truth of God to the people of God. There was a time Jesus looked, and He looked at a multitude, and He had compassion on them. He said, look, they were like sheep without shepherds. That is, they were scattered. Nobody was giving them direction. He had compassion on them. And when God has compassion on His people, like He said through Jeremiah in chapter 3, He said, I will give them pastors after my heart. And what is their job? To feed them with knowledge and with what? Understanding. The reason why we are here this evening is to do what we can in that line. To feed the people of God with knowledge and with understanding. Two different methods the Lord has arranged for this program to happen. I know a number of you that who are here, you've listened to us on radio, on the website, on stuff like that. Okay? But just good, like Paul said, I wanted to visit you that I may impart a spiritual gift to you. That's it. And that's why we are here this evening. The Lord arranged it by Himself. We didn't plan it. Some people just said, please come to Oka. And we said, okay, fine. And then that's how we are here this evening. And I trust that at the end of these two sessions, two and a half sessions, because we'll take questions tomorrow. All right, after the morning session, we're going to answer as many questions as possible. All right, I trust that at the end of these sessions, your heart will have been established more in truth. I trust that God will have given you a greater hunger for His word and more understanding of concerning what is true. That's the thing, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, the truth about religion is that sometimes people can be confused. That's a matter of fact. People can believe what is not true. People can be deceived. It's possible. Jesus said, on the last day, many will come to me and say, did we not, and they say, Lord, Lord. They recognized Him, they thought as Lord. They will say, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do all of these things in your name? Did we not get promotion in church in your name? Did you not become ordained pastors in your name? So Jesus will look and say, what's your name again? He said, we have never met. He said, I never knew you. He said, you worker of iniquity. That this man was in church, was walking, but Jesus called him what? A worker of iniquity. So it is possible for somebody to think he's serving God, but actually he's not. It's going to be very, very terrible. You know, that disappointment sometimes scares me for people. Because a lot of people are actually literally deceived. They're actually literally deceived. They think they are pleasing God and they are not pleasing God. Many of us may have heard the story of Uzzah. Uzzah was a man that he wanted to help God. And you know what happened? He died. And by every reasonable calculation, what Uzzah was doing was good. The ark of God wanted to fall down. And the man got up, stretched forth his hand to steady the ark. And the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled. Now, get my point. I want to help you, then you are angry with me. It wasn't that he made a mistake. The Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled because Uzzah touched the ark. Therefore, God slew him. David thought the thing so reasonable, what Uzzah did, that he abandoned the ark. Please, you are getting my point here. David abandoned the ark because he felt that, look, what Uzzah did was a reasonable thing. Why will you kill a man? Because he's trying to help you. And I feel sorry for a lot of Christians today. They are still having the same problems. Why? Because, listen, you know what Solomon said? Guard your steps when you draw near the temple. Draw near to what? Listen. He said, if you don't do that, what you'll be doing is offering the sacrifices of fools. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet. But what I want to say, I believe, is prophetic. Now, when I say prophetic, I'm not saying it's predictive. That by this time next year, flood will come to Texas. That's not what I mean. Or flood will go to Benue State. That's not what I mean. That's not the job of a prophet. All right? The primary job of a prophet is to tell people what God is saying now. Teachers like me tell people what God is saying all the time. There are certain principles of God that are established. All right? From generation to generation, they are there. The logos of God, the word of God, they keep on explaining it, explaining it. They guide you with God's word. That's the primary job of what the Bible calls pastors / teachers, the same office, all right? But when a prophet speaks, usually, the idea is you give a word that is particularly relevant for this season. All right? So it doesn't mean that you're predicting. It doesn't mean you are seeing visions. It just means that God gives you a word that is particularly relevant for a particular season. All right? Now, that's what I mean when I say that the word I want to give, all right, I believe is a prophetic word. Even though this is a prophet. Okay, I'm kidding. All right? But please listen to this. I am convinced from the bottom of my heart. I don't have any shadow of doubt. You know, we are studying the book of Revelations in the Enugu right now. You can follow us on our website. It's currently on the homepage. Christ's letters to his churches. All right? Okay. Christ's message to his church. All right? We are studying what Jesus said to the seven churches in the book of Revelations. We study from chapter 1 to chapter 3. All right? You find those letters written in verses chapters 2 and 3. Now, while studying it, each church he will say to them, this is your current situation. I know your deeds. I know your patience. I know your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate false prophets. I know you cannot tolerate those who say they are apostles and they are not, and all of those things. He will not say, I have this against you. Sometimes, most of the time, it's not more than one or two things. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. I have this against you. There are some amongst you that hold on to the doctrine of Balaam. I have this against you. You are not as fervent in love as you used to be. All right? You are falling down from where you used to be. Remember where you were. He will tell them stuff like that. He will not tell you, repent. So each time there is a specific word for each season. Now, while studying all of those things, we've been on it for some time now in Enugu. At the point in time, last Saturday, I preached and I realized I was speaking the mind of God for now. And listen to this. God holds you personally responsible for your life. There are a lot of false prophets out there. There are a lot of them. There are plenty. The big one is in Lagos. And anytime I say the man is false, people will tell me that, who am I to judge? And I say, who am I to judge? I don't know. All I know is that I need to save those who listen to me. I need to give people guidance. I need to give them direction. There are a lot of them in Enugu too. I'm sure they will be in Oka. If I hear that One of the ones in Oka has opened a shop near here. Yes, I heard that he has opened a shop very close to this place. Each man will get his own judgment. Are you getting my point? But you have a responsibility to defend yourself. You have a responsibility to defend yourself. Old prophets kill young prophets. What I mean by old prophets kill young prophets? God will tell a young prophet, do this. An old prophet will use his clout and his influence, turn him the other way around, and that young boy will die for it. Everybody has a responsibility for his life. What is the word of the Lord Jesus to today's church? He said, enough of ignorance. Go and look for knowledge. Go and look for understanding. Are you getting my point here? Enough of ignorance. He said, as a matter of fact, my people are perishing more than ever before. Because of what? Lack of knowledge. Let me say it again. That's why, when my brother Pastor Kimuti was speaking at the beginning, he said that, you have come here because you love the word of God. Yes, I like that. It's true. That nobody promised you any emergency breakthrough. And let me assure you, what you need right now is not emergency breakthrough. That's not what you need. What you need right now is not, you know, open doors, quick open door. What you need right now is not money. What you need right now is understanding. That is the stability of your soul. That is the stability of your life. One thing I do once in a while, we are watching TV, my wife and I, or maybe I'm in church, we're in church, and a man will say something, I'll pinch my wife, I say, this man is telling lies. What we say? Why would you say that? I say, baby, forget this thing, it's a lie. Now what I'm talking about is that, what gives you the confidence in some of those things? It's simple understanding. I'll just tell my wife, I said, look, the God I serve does not behave like that. Leave that. And again, many of those stories, when you hear them later, they are not true. They are not true. This is the word of the Lord Jesus for now. It is time to stop being babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Some things I don't like to say them, but we just need to say so that people will understand what is going on. Many people who mount this pulpit don't even know half of what you know. But the fellow has been promoted, or he has to eat. So this is a job. So because he has to eat, he has to manufacture doctrines that pays. I don't like to say it, but you know, it's the truth. What am I saying? So that you will be armed and realize that it's not everybody that stands up there that has your interest at heart. Many people, their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame, and they mind earthly things. And unfortunately, I see an epidemic of such people standing in front of Christians every Sunday and maybe one or two other times of the week. And they are, you know, the Bible says, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. That is, sheep, you know, they've been led astray. I believe the Lord Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to hold you personally responsible for your life. Because if you are looking for truth, you will find it. So what is the message? Look for that truth. Pray for it. Ask God for understanding. Ask God to teach you. Ask God to help you. Like Pastor Kumite was saying earlier, he went to hospital, saw somebody in hospital. And the fellow said, why should I be sick? After all, I gave my land to the church. Do you know why people say things like that? They actually expect it to work. They actually expect that if I give my land to the church, I should not be sick. Unfortunately, it is not so. Your material offerings do not buy you health. They don't buy you guarantees of anything. This is how you know your prayer is not working. When you want to pray, you remember the good works you did for the Lord. Just know your prayer is not working anymore. Just close that prayer, get up, go and get drunk. That's a joke. That is the drunk part. That's what I'm going to say. Just close that prayer for that day. It's not working. If you were fasting before, break the fast. Get pounded here and eat. Enjoy yourself. Once you are entering prayer and you are thinking, look at everything I've done for the Lord. Now he will do something back for me. Just close the prayer. It's a waste of time. Anything you say more than that, it is a sin. Many people's prayers are sins. When they start praying, God will close the window. Say, Lord, why are you shutting the window? He said, can't this boy has come to pray again? I can't hear him. He's not praying in accordance with my will. I know the problem. Most people who are like that, they don't know. That's what I'm talking about. That's the sad side. They don't know. They have confidence that there is no how this will not produce for me. That's why a woman can say, I'm in hospital. Why? Has God forgotten the cost of the land? A woman was talking with me like that. He said, why should this be happening to me? I shouldn't be using my money to buy medicine. After all, I gave God my tithes. And I shook my head in my heart. I felt like saying, madam, that is why you are sick. If you did not pay a tithe, maybe you would have been healthy. But that tithing is the reason why you are now sick. Somebody says, why? It is simple. Can't you see it has given you false confidence? It is that false confidence that's a problem. It's not the gift itself. It's a false confidence that is bested in your heart. That is what the problem is. That is what the problem is. Today's Christianity, many people don't even know Jesus. They think they do. They don't know who he is. They don't know what he did for them. They don't know the importance of the sacrifice on the cross. Many times people preach, I don't believe them. Those who know me know that I just say, forget that thing. That is not the word of God. People say, if you want to receive, go and give. I don't believe a word of it. The Bible didn't teach me that. You can read from John chapter 14, 15, 16. Jesus said, when you want to receive, what do? Ask in my name. That's what he said. And James, personally taught by the Lord Jesus, he said, do you know why you don't have? You never asked. Or when you did ask, you asked wrongly. Like that testimony you were giving at the beginning. So the man said, let me purify your motives. Let me purify your motives. Let me see why you are asking what you are asking for. And when they finished that, they joined hands. And as children of God, they simply asked in the name of Jesus. And he answered them quickly. Part of the reasons to give us a testimony to share concerning how he does things. One of my brothers lives abroad. He said once, they had tried everything. He wanted his mother to come and visit. This was many years ago, not now, more than 10 years ago. And he has lived abroad now for more than 10 years. So many years ago, he said they tried everything for his mother to come and visit. It didn't work. Not now that Canada is looking for people to come there. That time, Canadian visa was twice as hard as American visa. Then once on the internet, he downloaded one of our messages. They said, titled The Anatomy of Prayer. I preached that many years ago. I'm sure it's more than 10 years. Then he listened to the messages. He said, I talked about asking God sincerely, simply, with sincerity. He said that day he sat on the floor, on the steps in his house. He just leaned against the wall and said, Lord, please, give my mother a visa. I want her to come and visit. Next time the mother went to the embassy, they gave her a visa. That's why he called me to give me the testimony. He said, what did I act on? I just heard, ask the Lord simply. Many of the things people try to do to get something out of God, it makes it more difficult for him to bless. Yes, trust me. It makes it more difficult. I will say some things to you today. It's deliverance. I didn't come to confuse you. I came to deliver you. It's deliverance. Many people, the Lord will have answered their prayers. But they do things that weaken their faith. Now, I'm going to tell you a number of things. You will say, ha, which kind of pastor are you? Don't worry. My wife too used to wonder. You're not the only one. There are people that wanted to ask God for some things. So they said, let us fast for 2 days. God says, that's it. I'm not answering. The Lord says, simply, I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer these people. Why? They have taken my glory and given it to fasting. Some will say, hey, I want to ask God for something. Say, good. Say, now I'm going to plant a seed. What do you mean by a seed? Money. And as I'm putting it in the offering basket, I will say to the seed, go and go and bring my answer. And God will tell all the angels, lock that door. No answer is leaving this place. No answer is going anywhere. And he said, why, Lord? He said, he has taken my glory. He wants to donate it to his seed. When I wanted to supply my children's needs, I told them, ask in my name. I gave them the reason they will get things from me. I said, you ask in the name of Jesus. What is it that the name of Jesus cannot accomplish? Let's discuss that first. Believe me, that is the reason why many people don't receive anything from God. God said the request is too complicated. It's too complicated. Too many things are attached to it. When we give the answer, the people competing for the glory, there'll be too many. Some will say, if you don't say that prayer at 2 a.m., the heavens will not be open. Competition for my glory. Some will say, listen, it was when I brought, one day my wife was somewhere, one woman was preaching and describing how God blessed her. What I want to say again, I feel bad saying them, those things, but I happen to know they are facts, so I'm using them to explain things to you. Said the woman preached and preached and preached. At a point in time, say, that day, I took a seed. Once she began to, my wife said, please don't go there. Please don't go there. And really, of course, now, what I'm about to say, I said that you will be surprised. Many of you don't know that. The person has been told by the host pastor or the person organizing the program that you need to make people do something because we need to complete the church building. I've been in those situations before, but I got my reputation long ago that this guy no go agree. There was a church I went to. I was invited somewhere to go and preach. 2 or 3 day program. By the time we were done, the last day they wanted to raise money for something. So it was a men's program. So the head pastor of the church, they now gave him the microphone, said, okay, go and raise the money. He now said, no, that they should give the guest minister. That the guest minister, he's the one the people have been under his anointing for the last few days. So he's the one that is most, you understand? So those guys looked at each other. They shook. I did like I got in here. I carried my eye, go one side. The men's leader, you understand? They looked at each other, shook their head, said, no need. And so one of them stood, please, if you want to give an offering towards this, please give. But give this man. They knew me, said, I will not do it for anybody. Now, it doesn't mean I never ask Christians to give money. Please, let me get it clear. Then let me make myself very clear. I'm not saying I never do that. I mean, there are three announcements we are taking. We've taken two now. That's in the ministry in Enugu. And the third one, we said there is a mission that's going on right now in the northern part of Nigeria where Boko Haram had ravaged. And we know some people that are going there to go and start preaching the gospel. So we decided to announce to people, please, if you want to support such a thing, all right, come and join us. We made up our mind to support them for 12 months. Of course, I announced it. The only thing I said is that I'm not promising you any breakthrough. God didn't promise. So I will not lie. That's something I can promise. That the gospel will be preached with your money. So I'm not saying that it's a wrong thing to ask Christians to give. The Bible says that you must learn how to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. So I believe in that. But I'm just saying that sometimes people start saying some things, it's because they are not being honest with God's word. And I'm begging you, don't be carried away by every kind of testimony. Many things try to share God's glory. It's a plague in this generation. That's why I'm speaking like this. Now, my problem is that the faith, the true faith of believers, all right, is being weakened. That's what my problem is. That the real faith, like the story you told us now, all right, that kind of faith is being destroyed. That kind of childlike faith. My son walked into my room. Was it yesterday or today? Yesterday. Daddy, please, can I have some money? I said, what is it for? I need to buy credit for my phone. I said, who are you calling? I mean, you're not doing business. What should I give you? You know, we just talked about it. He said, well, I want to send a few text messages and I want to call a few of my friends. I said, look, okay, how long will this last? Because I don't want you spending money like somebody who's earning when you're not earning anything. He said, no, this one to last me like a week. He says, reasonable. I gave him the money. No discussion. You know, school is opening right now. Schools are opening. You know that. In fact, one of my classmates sent it. You know, you have this happy new week, happy new year, happy new month. You know, those kind of things. One of my classmates sent one, a picture. Happy school fees week. Happy school fees week. And I laughed. This is very interesting. So my wife called me and said, okay, look at this. Oh, you will transfer money for... There's no discussion about it. The children are my responsibilities. Are you getting my point? They are mine to take care of. I didn't ask her, what have they done for me to deserve school fees? Then do you know what she should have answered? What did they do for you to deserve coming to the earth? Are you getting my point here? It's childlike faith. The children will come from school. Hey, daddy, our school said we should bring this. Their mother will say, last night, one of my kids just finished primary school. It's your son's graduation. I've checked his suits. All of them are jumping. You know, children grow like mushrooms. One day, my wife said, my son didn't have trousers. So she went and bought 4 pairs of trousers for him. I said, buy long ones. I'll hem them thick. So she did that. Long trousers. Good enough. He had the waist for it. So they hemmed the thing thick. So one day I saw him with trousers jumping. So I said, oh, I told his mother, I said, this boy's trousers don't begin jumping. I think she should go and release the extra hem. No, don't laugh yet. She said, oh, the hem? I released it long ago. That the one you are seeing is the jumping after the hem has been released. You are getting the point? I said, what? So that the one that finished that day, my wife told her, that all his suits, but she couldn't believe. She says, no, it's not possible. He has this fine suit. He went in there. The suit don't jump. Seriously, you don't know when they are growing. They grow while you are sleeping. So what is the next point? He said, I need to buy a new one. It's his graduation. And they went to the market, took my money, and bought a new suit. I didn't ask, what has he done for me all this while that I should do anything for him? That childlike faith is what we destroy systematically by many of the things we preach these days. We invent doctrines that God didn't command. Like I said, the painful part is the erosion of childlike faith. The faith that just walks in and says, daddy, my graduation is tomorrow. My suit is too small. I need a new one. Not checking. What have I done for daddy in recent times? No, that childlike faith is true Christianity. And that is what I hope to preach this evening and part of tomorrow. I want us to understand. That's why the caption is, Lord, what do you think of my righteousness? Now, why do we put it like that? Because the word righteousness, let me quickly explain what righteousness means. There are many ways to look at righteousness, but please get this point. Righteousness is the reason why God talks to you. Righteousness is the reason why the Lord relates with you. Righteousness is the reason why the Lord answers your prayers. The basis of relationship with God is righteousness. Righteousness is that thing that God looks at in you and says you are okay. Righteousness is the certificate that God issues you, allowing you to come into his temple. Let me put it like that. That's what righteousness is. Now, if you notice something, I have not emphasized on how you get it. Now, there's what the Bible calls righteous works, or the works of righteousness. Works don't produce righteousness. They come out of righteousness. Did you hear what I said? First of all, somebody is accepted with God before his works are acceptable. God does not accept your works so that he might accept you. No. First of all, he accepts you, then your works become acceptable. So righteousness is first, before the works of righteousness. Bear it in mind. Now, upon what basis do we get righteousness, therefore? Now, before I answer that, it is determined by God. Now, universities in Nigeria are doing post-UME right now as we speak. Different universities are doing, they began about 2 weeks ago, and they'll probably continue for the next week, all right? Over about 3 weeks period, they'll be doing that. Now, listen to this. A university will say, upload this document. Another university, don't upload this document. You didn't like say, if you are not up to 16, the day of our exam, don't even come. UNN doesn't even talk about your age. Just pass. Now, you notice something? Nobody asks any of the candidates what qualifications they would like to present for admission. I don't know whether you're catching that. They don't ask the candidates that, listen, okay, let's have a vote. Do you people think we should accept 5 credits or 6 credits? Somebody say, listen, if you don't accept 4 credits, it's discrimination. I want you to take 4. They don't discuss that. You go to their website and check what they're asking for. UNN said if your JAMB score, you know JAMB said 120 minimum, right? UNN said if you get 199, don't come near here. They made it clear that it's for you to qualify to take their post-UME exam, you must have scored 200. Some schools may say they take 170. That's their problem. But UNN says what? 200. Some may say 220. Now, this is even before your department is now deciding their own cutoff mark. Just for you to qualify to write the post-UME. Why am I saying all of these things? You will notice that the university set their standards. They didn't ask anybody's opinion. God also set his standard for righteousness. It's not based on what is popular. It's not based on what the pastor said. It's not based on church doctrine. Paul called it the righteousness of God. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. And he says it's on the basis of what? Faith. Paul said, therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, he said, indeed the righteousness of God is revealed. That is the preaching of the Lord Jesus. This preaching about the Lord Jesus is the basis upon which God accepts anybody. Not any other thing. He sets his standards. Now remember, I said part of when I was defining righteousness, I said it's the basis upon which God answers your prayers. And it's revealed from faith to faith, not from works to works. The works are what? A product of the righteousness. They are not the basis of the righteousness. Now remember, righteousness is based upon God answers your prayers. For that reason, if I want to quote my work for God before he answers my prayers, I have denied the righteousness of God. Simple. That's what I mean when I say, God, what do you think of my righteousness? Because over time, listen, I'm behaving like Jeremiah now. I need to uproot some things. I need to overthrow some doctrines. I need to pull down some doctrines from the hearts of the people. Because without that, they will not have anything. They will not be able to receive what we are trying to build. They will not be able to receive what we are trying to plant. We need to uproot many doctrines. Why would God answer me? People have come up with all kinds of things. Like I gave as an example earlier. There are those who can never pray unless they are hungry. They call it fasting. Let me explain something to you. God never, listen to me, the Lord never listens to anybody because he's hungry. He does not. He has never done it. He won't start today. Important point. He doesn't listen to people because they have not eaten. After all, most people who claim they are fast, they don't even know the meaning of the fast.
They don't know the meaning of the word fast. They grew up with an idolatrous mentality that a man who is hungry is fasting. When I was in secondary school, just after the secondary school, I had a year of HSC those days. One of my classmates, he said he didn't have money, so he had not eaten the whole day. He said if he doesn't get money by 2 o'clock, he will convert it to a fast. I remember the guy very well. He said by 2 o'clock he doesn't get money, he's going to convert this hunger to a fast. You are getting the point. He spoke like that simply because he assumed that fasting is the same thing as what? Hunger. So he said that day, I remember, he says watching the time, that once by this particular time he hasn't seen food to eat, he's going to convert it to a fast. And Christians still do that till today. They don't know the meaning of the word fast. They don't. If God allows us time, I'll talk about that briefly. People assume that that's why God will listen to them. The plague of this generation is that people are always thinking that when I give an offering is the basis upon which God will listen to me. We misinterpret scripture, say money answers all things. So if I need a child, I give an offering. If I need money, I give an offering. If I need a wife, I give an offering. I watch them on TV all the time. It says, sow a seed for the salvation of your children. Sow a seed for your friend's salvation. Listen to me. You can't do that. You can't sow money for somebody's salvation. There is nothing like that, people of God. There is nothing like that. Those are things I must pull down. Every other thing you have confidence in, upon which God, you think that God will answer you, apart from simply asking by faith in the name of Jesus, you have to throw it down today. Amen. Today you must cast it away out of your heart. If you are talking about serving God, dear Lord, you know I'm not bragging. No. I just want to give that an example. I mean to have served God small. We don't try. I have been preaching for a very long time. Yes, I have been preaching. I have denied myself things because of the gospel. I have given offering too. I'm a regular offering giver. Yes. I have given offering. I have helped build church. I have sponsored the poor. I have given money to those in hospital. I can't just be discussing, of course, that's not your business really. It's between me and the Lord. I believe that as a believer, if you see, God says, Paul was writing, say, give seed to the sower and bread for food. The first part of my money, I believe, is the offering part. So I don't give because I have nothing else to do with money. I give first. There are things I give to regularly. They come first, even when I need money. Oh, they come first. Okay, there's one I can give as an example because that's common sense. My mother never knows whether salaries are late or not. She doesn't know whether I'm broke or not. She can't know. She's not allowed to know. The money I give her, it must go. He is not discussed. Are you getting my point? There are places I give money to. They just assume that maybe they will think that, okay. No. As soon as the first money comes to me around the time I'm supposed to give it, I settle them first. They go first. Some of them is mission matters. Some of them is helping somebody matter, you know, honor matter. It goes first. It goes first. We're not discussing whether the money is enough or not. No. This one, I tell myself, say, I beg. Don't disturb my soul. Let me get you out of my mind. Like the Israelites will say, I've removed the hallowed things out of my house. You know, the way the Jews used to say it. I start from there. Oh, I'm not saying I'm the greatest giver on the earth. I know that definitely not. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm trying to say that I have some discipline in that area too. Oh, I have preached the gospel. But guess what? I have never, ever gone to God and asked him for anything on the basis of any of this. Never. I'm not allowed to do that. If I do that, I will die one day suddenly. Because God will be so angry with me, he will send 2 angels to slap me from both sides. Next time you see, my head will be narrower than before. That's what is called the righteousness of works. That's what it's called. It's the righteousness of works. I am careful. That is, if the thought crosses my mind, which it doesn't, I don't know when it ever has ever done it in the last 10, 20 years. But if the thought manages to cross my mind, I will pause. And that's what I teach to people. I will say to the Lord, do you know this project the other day, this mission, this church, these needy people, you know, I give this amount to that project. I said, Lord, you know, the thought just crossed my mind now. So I want to quickly say to you, I'm sorry for thinking of it while I'm praying. It's giving me the kind of confidence that's not good for my soul. I'm walking into your presence, start thinking of what I have done. It's trouble for me. You say, why is it trouble for you? I'll explain the reason why it's trouble for you. The simple reason why it is trouble is that life has different spheres of operation. I'll quickly give two, you know, you've heard all of these things. You know, when you give, you will get. These are principles that Muslims use, all those kind of things. Are those things true? Yes, they are true. They are true. They are very, very true. Listen to me, they are true. They are true. They are true. However, there's a realm that's beyond that level. That realm is called the realm of Christ Jesus. In that realm, it's what he sows that I reap. Are you getting my point? Whatever Jesus sows, that I shall also reap. In that realm, my sins are forgiven. All my errors, the Lord said, I have forgotten. I've wiped them away. Every handwriting written against me is removed. That's called the realm of Christ. Now, this is the point. I can choose to be in a place where we are arguing on did you give, did you not give? Or I choose to be in a place where we are arguing, are you of faith in Christ or you are not? And once they say you are of faith in Christ, listen to what I want to say. Ancestral curses have no effect. Your own sins of past, they have no effect. Every negative word spoken against you have no effect. Listen to this. What you forget to do has no effect. That is, you enter into a place. Jesus said, now I want to apply a spiritual principle. Jesus said, other men labored. You have entered into their labor, into their harvest. You enter into a place, Jesus labored, you enter into his harvest. Nobody asks, have you labored or you have not labored? That's another realm. So it's simple. Which realm do I choose? I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. The commandment of God is that I must choose that realm of Christ Jesus. That is why I am careful not to drag myself to the realm below. Because in that realm below, that's when they say, again, how much did you give before we can bless you back? I say, here's my check stub. I give an offering of 200,000 naira. Say, good, multiply it. Except that when they want to multiply it, Satan comes. Say, wait, wait. He's called an accuser of the brethren. That is where he talks. That's where his mouth is strong. Say, yes, he gave 200,000 naira. But the other week, one boy was at his glass in traffic, begging for food to eat. He didn't give anything. That means he should be punished. And God is judge, is just. He's a just judge. When you stay in that realm, your good works will speak for you, and your evil works will shout louder. The Bible says, one sinner destroys much good. A little bit of leaving, leavens the whole lump. So small sin in your life destroys all your works. Why? Because you were so ignorant, you decided to stay where they are arguing on who did what, who did not do what. Instead of you to crawl to the place of Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you for covering my back. Thank you because I have faith in you. Thank you because you are the one that paid for everything. So Paul said, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus. You want prosperity? Remember the grace of the Lord Jesus. I hope you're getting my point here. Lord, what do you think of my righteousness? God said, which righteousness are you dealing with? If your righteousness is your own works, I'll tell you what I think of it. It's simple. Because of it, you will get some good. Because of it, all the evil you have done will be paid back to you too. I feel sorry for people when they get up and somebody tells them, look, when you want something from God, you will take your check stub and say, God, this is how much I did for you. They don't know that once you can say that, Satan also gets up and says, God, this is how much he did not do. You have to have it both ways. You cannot just take one side. No, the only place, listen to me, where you take the good and there's no bad attached is when Jesus is the one that paid and you are hiding inside the sacrifice of Jesus. And you're not there boasting on what you have done. Please, let's understand what Christianity is.
Christianity is what God did for us in Christ. And the only job we have to do is to make sure we abide in Christ. Let me say that again. Christianity is when God removed us from the place where we have to get results with our own strength. Where we have to persuade God to listen to us. Where we have to make God promises so that because he is poor, he will be looking forward to what we will give him. God removed us from there and said, listen, I'm tired of your own works. All your own works, they are filthy rags in my sight. So I'm bringing you to a place where I know you can't help yourself. You are a slave to sin. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world, John chapter 3 verse 16, which we all know, that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but in him they will have everlasting life, eternal life. That's what Christianity is. Christianity means that, listen, if you want anything in life, you look in Christ. If you want freedom, you look in Christ. Christianity means that, listen, you don't have an ancestral curse anymore. It has been broken because you were removed from where you were before. You are now kept inside Christ Jesus, which means when they want to draw ancestry, Christ is right above you. So where is the curse passing through? That's Christianity. My assignment is to lift up this Jesus for people to see again. Too many things have been used to cover him. And many people thinking they are practicing Christianity have become confused. They still go to villages to go and uproot things. Another one. They still believe that their enemies will not let them prosper, so the enemies must die. Christ Jesus is not clear to people anymore. They still believe that somebody is fighting their destiny. And the person must somersault and scatter. He must fall down and die. You know what you have? Like I said, I have to break things down. People who go to shrines and they call it church. People who are advanced witches and they call themselves Christians. They are involved in witchcraft war and they call it Christianity. That's the problem we have today. People who get up, they want to go and pray. I say, every enemy fighting my destiny, die by fire. You're not a Christian. You're a witch yourself. You're not a Christian. You're a witch. Anyone who directly engages another human being in a battle in spiritual things, another human being, is a witch. You say, what about Christianity? The weapons of our warfare are mighty only through God. Yeah. That's through Christianity. But you know what you have? A lot of people, they are practicing shamanism, witchcraft, all kinds. They mumble it, jumble everything. You know the one that we have been using to laugh for some time? A man goes to church and says, anybody hanging between the heaven and the earth, I, your pastor, I hang on your behalf and I jam them. If you go back to that church, you yourself, you have personal problems. Yeah, I think you should carry your bag and go home. And say, pastor, when you have learned some Bible, we'll come back and visit you. Like I said, we have to break some things down. Do you know, for some people, prayer is a form of righteousness. What I mean by righteousness is this. They need to pray and pray and pray so God can hear them. So they are counting it. 7 hours. The Lord will hear when we hit 10 hours. That's what I mean when I ask, Lord, what do you think of my righteousness? Righteousness is the basis upon which God listens to us. So my question is that, what have you been doing to secure God's ears? Yeah. What have you been doing so that God will pay attention to your prayers? What have you been doing because you think that if I do this, God will hear me? That's what we are trying to talk about. And I'm explaining today, there are so many things, so we can't be taking them one by one. But I can explain this clearly. Anything that is outside what God has done for you in Christ Jesus is a waste of your time. When Jesus was teaching his people to pray, he said, when you come to prayer, you know what you do? You ask in my name. When he told us the parable of the two men that went to pray, he said the one that God heard was the one that said, Lord, have mercy upon me. And the name of the God's mercy has a name. I hope you know that. God's mercy has a name. And the name of God's mercy is Jesus Christ. So when that one said, Lord, have mercy on me. What was he saying? God, I don't deserve anything. Now, we Christians speaking now. But that which you have given in your son, Jesus. That's what Christianity is. What we have as a duty as believers in Christ is to abide in him. That's the duty we have. To ensure that we abide in him. Not to be trying to gain God's favor. We already have his favor because of faith in Jesus. That's what I mean when I say, Lord, what do you think of my righteousness? Are you going to prosper me because I've been a giver? God says, no, I don't do such things. I prosper my children because I love them. I prosper my children because Jesus died for them. I prosper my children because they have faith in the sacrifice, the provision that I made for them in Christ Jesus. So you mean they don't need to give? No, they don't need to give, but they will give because they are my children. I don't know whether you got that. They don't need so as to give so they can get something. No, 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 not at all. That's not what I'm saying. I don't need that one. But they will give. Why? Whose children are they? Are they? If they don't give. Are they not like me, their father? For God so loved the world that did what? That he gave. God loved the alien amongst you that he gave him food and shelter and clothing. That's what the Bible says. God is a giving God. So anybody that's like God is also what? A giver. And that's why God loves a cheerful giver. Like I always say jokingly, not a cheerful investor. Most Christians are investors, they are not givers these days. They are investors. They are investors. Anybody that's counting what he has given to see God multiply it back for him is an investor, not a giver. Should I give you your money to Guarantee Trust Bank? Don't ever forget, every seed has its own soil. Money as a seed in itself, the soil is not the realm of the spirit. The soil is financial market. True faith that produces in quotes results in that dimension. Believe me, the Bible says the seed is the word of God. Are you getting my point? It is faith released. When you release God's word, that's where results come from. Not from your financial seed. I believe that God has sent me this season to go and correct that thing. Do you know why? It gives Christians wrong confidence. And that confidence will fail. It will fail them at the time they need it most. That's the problem. Because I would have helped him. He said, Lord, why are you not helping him? He said, anytime he wants to pray, he reminds me of his seed. And his seed is not big enough for what he's asking for. After how much did he give? He gave 2 months' salary as income. Hey, we are doing give and receive, Abby. I used that one to cover the breath he breathed in the morning when he woke up yesterday. When he woke up in the morning, that one. Haven't given him a discount, oh. With discount, his 2 months' salary paid for the first breath he took in the morning yesterday. So he was saying, Lord, remember my offering. And I said, oh boy, remember the breathing. Why? Because we are playing a game right now. Or somebody give, somebody receive. So I decided to collect my things too. So I would have helped him. Once he kneels down, he starts calculating. And he does not know the value of things. He doesn't understand the value of things. He said, oh, I gave my whole last year's salary as first fruit.
Because that's how you like it. I didn't ask you for it. So why are you not harassing me? Say, but pastor said if I do it, you will bless me. You don't consider being alive blessing? Did I not bring you to church this morning, safe? You don't think that's a blessing? Even though I didn't send your pastor that one, he knows why he said it. But you are still blessed anyway. Say, Lord, now what do I do? So as I get my needs met, say, go and buy a Bible. Then you open the Bible. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's why I will not want. Wait. The Lord is my shepherd. That's why I will not want. Not because of what I have done. Say, now you are learning. Do you have any specific needs? Yes, I do. Go down to John chapter 16. Ask. Read that one. You read it. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. He said, jump. Go down to what James said. James said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you don't receive because your motives are wrong. See, that's why you have not answered me. I said, that's why I have not answered you. You have not been asking me. You have been playing games. I believe I've come to Oka today to tell many people why God hasn't answered their prayers. That's why many people have not been answered. So we ask the question, what do you think of my righteousness? And this is the answer of the Lord Jesus. I think it's filthy rags in my sight. Your offerings are signs of your selfishness. I've seen them. There's nothing you give. You don't calculate what is bringing back for you. You are wicked. You don't love me. You don't love people. You don't love my word. You don't love the church. You only love yourself. Because without a promise of what you will get, you don't release anything. You are a wicked one of my children. I'm ashamed of you. You know, there are people that Jesus is ashamed of. Yes, he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Yes. So there are many things people become ashamed. Jesus becomes ashamed of people. Say, you don't look like me. You don't behave like me. Say, Lord, what do I do? It's simple. Repent of your own, repent of the confidence in your own works. Let me tell you how this thing is. Listen, sometimes as a person, I almost fall for it in a righteous way. When I say righteous way, you see what I mean in a moment. As me, I have a sore throat. Are you getting my point? I want to speak, my voice is hooked. Somebody say, Banky, how are you? Oh, I am fine on this sore throat. You know, this is a human mind. Lord, you know, you are the one I'm going to preach for, so you will heal my voice. Are you catching that? Do you know that is also wickedness as far as God is concerned? There are times you say, Lord, why will my voice be paining me? After all the singing I've been doing is for the kingdom. Because that's the way you want it. All right? I will heal your voice. I will damage your brain. Because many of the thinking I've been thinking was not for the kingdom. You see why you can't do this calculation and get away with it. That's the one I almost fell for some months ago. Unconsciously just said that, let me give an example now. Maybe we are traveling to Oka. We came in a number of cars, those of us that came from Enugu. And we all came for the purpose of this program. So there's an unconscious thing that as we are traveling, God will protect us. Say, why will he protect you? After all, it's the gospel we are going to preach. God said, Okpari, push that car into the bush. Teach those boys a lesson. Teach them a lesson. Don't let them die. Don't let them die. Damage the front tire. Break the shaft. Let them use prayer to repair the car. Why? You know, that's the kind of thing that some months ago, I think I almost fell for something like that. And Holy Spirit said, wake up, my boy. Don't even start it. So if I'm traveling, and we do a lot of traveling, the men that work with me, we do a lot of traveling. Every Sunday, we drive 4 hours to go and pastor a church service. That's one direction. Then 4 hours to return. And the road is bad. So, look, we're not talking because we are lazy for God. That we lie on our bed and say, God will prosper us. No, because Jesus died. No, we're not like that. We try our best to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. But sometimes you want to travel like that. You know, the mind wants to say that. After all, it's God we are traveling for.
So he will protect us. God will say, okay, go and read your Bible well. Exodus chapter 4. Moses got up to go and deliver the people of Israel. The Bible said it came about that God stopped him on the way and sought to kill him.